It's December 8th, 2021, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with Adrian Bluss for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, the better alternatives to fiat, the latest headlines, and more. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin spent most of Tuesday trading above $51,000 as stock markets rose sharply amid growing optimism that the new Omicron coronavirus variant would be less damaging to the economy than previously feared. But the gains couldn't hold, and Bitcoin's price fell back, slightly down over the past 24 hours. The top cryptocurrency by market capitalization's trading volume across major centralized exchanges was low on Tuesday. Ether, meanwhile, was down just a little bit over the same time period. Blockchain data suggested that the market crash over the weekend resulted from a, quote, weak hand purge, end quote, according to blockchain analytics firm Santiment. Bitcoin's network realized profit compared to loss, or NPL for short, chart shows that Saturday's correction triggered one of this year's largest drops in the metric. The drop in NPL suggests, quote, a significant amount of BTC transferred over the weekend were being moved at a loss compared to the last time they changed addresses, Santiment explained in its analysis on Tuesday. So what's the takeaway? Bitcoin may face some short-term downward pressure amid, quote, rising fear, uncertainty, and doubt among many BTC holders, Santiment concluded. Alternative cryptocurrencies, often called altcoins, gained, and some of the biggest winners of the day included Tezos, OMG, and Harmony. Turning back to Bitcoin, the Relative Strength Index, or RSI, on the 4-hour chart is rising from extreme oversold levels, suggesting that buyers could remain active over the short term. But still, BTC remains in a month-long downtrend, defined by the downward-sloping 100-period moving average on the 4-hour chart. Downtrends tend to limit price rises as sellers outnumber buyers. Price momentum is still negative on the weekly chart, which means more time is needed for Bitcoin to decisively break above its short-term downtrend. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk's markets analysts, Muyao Shen and Dominic Dantes. Bitcoin is currently trading at $49,244. That's down just a little bit over 3.5% in the last 24 hours, while Ether is trading at $4,304 per ETH. That's down 1.28% in the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. In traditional markets, U.S. stock futures rose and Treasury yields slipped as investors grappled with conflicting visions of the future, some more positive than others. Futures for the S&P 500 gained 0.5% on Wednesday, just one day after the benchmark index posted its biggest one-day jump since March and closed just shy of an all-time high. Contracts for the Dow Jones Industrial Average also rose 0.5%, and futures for the NASDAQ 100 added just over 0.5% as well. All of this points to a relatively strong start for the session. Meanwhile, in Europe, the regional Stoxx 600 index dipped 0.2%, while in London, the FTSE 100 was roughly flat. Continuing to the east, in Hong Kong, China Evergrande shares dropped 5.5% to their lowest level since the real estate giant's public trading debut back in 2019. Evergrande did not make the payments due on some U.S. dollar bonds before a final deadline expired on Monday, potentially setting the stage for a massive default and the return of some of the fear that comes along with that of broader systemic implications. And completing our look at traditional markets, Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index edged up less than 0.1%. Today's traditional markets coverage draws from the Wall Street Journal and the FT. Stay tuned for After the Break. We'll be back with a few quick headlines we're tracking today, with links to the full articles in the show notes for this episode, as always. Then after the headlines, we'll take a look at how the private sector is providing better alternatives to fiat currencies. We'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Take a look at the headlines in big picture news. Around the world, millions of people are rethinking how they work and live and how to better balance the two. The Great Resignation, as it's sometimes called, has U.S. workers quitting their jobs in record numbers. More than 24 million did so from April to September of this year, and many are staying out of the labor force. Germany, Japan, and other wealthy nations are seeing shades of the same trend. But why? Bloomberg takes a shot at connecting the dots with the full article in the show notes. But it's not all bad news. The U.S. trade deficit narrowed sharply in October as exports soared to a record high, potentially setting up trade to contribute to economic growth as far as statistics are concerned, this quarter for the first time in more than a year. The official numbers from the Commerce Department on Tuesday, which also showed imports rising to an all-time high, added to a tightening labor market, strong consumer spending, as well as services and manufacturing activity that have suggested an acceleration in growth was underway as the year winds down. Exports accelerated 8.1% to an all-time high of $223.6 billion. Reuters has the details on that one. And with the holidays coming up, e-commerce giant Amazon's push to recruit big rig contractors to haul its goods across its web of warehouses is colliding with a trucker shortage as the e-commerce company moves what are expected to be a record number of packages this holiday season. Reuters also has that one. Turning to international news, the Australian government says it will launch the biggest payment reforms in 25 years, according to the nation's treasurer in a recent interview. In an attempt to modernize Australia's payment systems, the new regulation will, quote, broaden the definition of services and products that can be regulated, taking cryptocurrencies and digital assets out of the shadows, end quote. Quintus Eliza Gritzi has that one. Meanwhile, the government of Gibraltar announced a project to integrate blockchain technology into its legacy systems in order to improve the delivery of its public services. That's according to a new press release out on Tuesday. The pilot project is being undertaken with the support of Latin American crypto exchange Bitso and RSK blockchain developer IOV Labs. CoinDesk's Jamie Crowley has that one. Turning to industry news, the stablecoin report published last Monday by the President's Working Group on Financial Markets, or PWG, made ripples across the crypto industry with its recommendations that Congress enact legislation to regulate stablecoin issuers like banks. But at least so far, that appears to be a non-starter among the crypto literate on Capitol Hill. At an event hosted by blockchain research firm Chainalysis on Monday, Representative Tom Emmer, a Republican from Minnesota and a longtime crypto supporter, as well as being the chairman of the Congressional Blockchain Caucus, pushed back against the recommendation, saying, quote, I'll put it bluntly this way, regulating stablecoin issuers like banks, which is what the report suggests, it'll kill American competitiveness, end quote. Representative Jim Himes, a Democrat from Connecticut, echoed Emmer's reluctance to rush to enact the legislation recommended by the president's working group, quote, one shouldn't assume that we'll necessarily follow the recommendations, Himes said. He continued, I'm also skeptical of the notion that all stablecoin issuers should be forced to be banks, end quote. And in lighter news, here's our associate producer, Adrian Blost.
A DAO, or Decentralized Autonomous Organization, raises $5 million for non-fungible token art by Silk Road convict Ross Ulbricht. Ross Ulbricht, the incarcerated founder of the criminal darknet market Silk Road, has attracted millions of dollars worth of bids for his non-fungible token or NFT art. The Ross Ulbricht Genesis Collection depicts four graphite pencil drawings and one oil canvas alongside essays and poems composed by Ulbricht at 37 during his imprisonment. The collection also includes an animation created by NFT artist Levitate that features a voiceover from the Texas native about his experience in prison, in addition to five artworks from his childhood and adolescence. The auction was launched at Art Basel, Miami last week on Super Rare, with bidding set to finish today. The Defiant has that report. And sticking with NFT news for a moment, a tiny minority of OpenSea users scoop up most NFT profits. So although there's a great deal of hype and FOMO, or fear of missing out, in the NFT space right now, only 5% of OpenSea users are scooping up the bulk of profits and secondary trades executed on the NFT platform, according to Chainalysis, a blockchain intelligence firm. It also pays to be a whitelisted NFT minter. They're realizing big gains amid the surging NFT market, while other traders are losing money in most transactions, the report said. The Defiant also has that one. And lastly, Ubisoft becomes the first major gaming company to launch in-game NFTs. After years of dabbling in the crypto and NFT space, game industry giant Ubisoft is taking things to the next level. The major game publisher will implement in-game NFTs into its games, starting with Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Ubisoft's NFT platform, known as Quartz, runs on Tezos, a proof-of-stake blockchain network. Decrypt has more details in the show notes.
Thanks very much for that, Adrian. Today's featured story is an opinion piece from James Dorn, the Vice President for Monetary Studies at the Cato Institute. Today's piece is called Let the Market Come Up with Better Money Tech. 25 years ago, in the dawn of electronic money, Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan presented a paper at the U.S. Treasury Conference on, quote, electronic money and banking, the role of government, end quote, where he argued that the future of e-cash will depend on the private sector's, quote, flexibility to experiment without broad interference from government, end quote. The COVID-19 pandemic has hastened the transition from paper currency to e-cash. People still want cash, but increasingly in digital form, stored on mobile wallets rather than in billfolds. China has already closed the door on private, market-based cryptocurrencies to protect the state's stake in creating a central bank digital currency. There's little doubt that eventually all major central banks will create their own digital currencies. The question is whether governments will allow private digital currencies to emerge and compete with these official digital media of exchange, or follow in China's footstep by banning private, market-based substitutes. In thinking about the future of money, it's critical to get the relationship right when it comes to money, the market, and the state. There would be gains from allowing a parallel private system for digital currencies besides CBDCs and letting people be free to choose. The market discovery process could then help determine the future of money, rather than giving the state the upper hand by default. Private monies emerged far before central banks via decentralized decisions by a network of traders to adopt a widely accepted good to act as a medium of exchange. Over time, gold and silver coins replaced cowrie shells and other crude forms of money. Money became more abstract with the introduction of paper currencies and checks, and it became centralized. By and large, today, currency is a pure fiat money. Its value is solely dependent on keeping its supply in line with demand. The official money network is not easy to compete with. Governments are not eager to have their currency monopolies disturbed by private entrepreneurs offering superior alternatives. Yet, there is no reason to fear the spontaneous development of alternatives to discretionary government fiat money. Allowing free competition within a genuine rule of law that safeguards property rights, including the right to a sound currency, is the way to encourage innovation and progress. A monetary system based on trust is an important foundation for economic and social harmony. Allowing a free market in ideas and experimentation, whether it be for money or other institutions, generates new information that's lost when the state bans competition, which is best understood as a Hayekian discovery process. The new frontier of cybercurrency and blockchain should not be restricted by overreaching government bureaucrats who want to protect their turf and maintain the status quo, or by bankers who don't want competition in the delivery of financial services. If we're to gain the benefits of fintech and the information revolution, doors to an innovative and more adaptive monetary system must remain open while maintaining sufficient regulation to ensure a transparent and orderly payment system. The right balance between state and market, therefore, is essential to providing an institutional environment that promotes freedom and responsibility and extends the range of choices open to people. Tilting that balance toward the private sector will more likely develop a robust monetary system than placing a heavier load on discretionary central banks issuing fiat money, whether paper currency or digital cash. That idea is reflected in a recent study from the Bank of International Settlements, in which the virtues of central bank digital currencies are noted, while recognizing the risks from a lack of private alternatives. Quote, the ultimate benefits of adopting a new payment technology will depend on the competitive structure of the underlying payment system and data governance arrangements. The same technology that can encourage a virtuous cycle of greater access, lower costs, and better services might equally induce a vicious circle of data silos, market power, and anti-competitive practices. Central bank digital currencies and open platforms are the most conducive to a virtuous cycle, end quote. Instead of following China's practice of cracking down on cryptocurrencies, the United States and other open societies should follow the market and see whether it can offer better alternatives than another government fiat money, unconstrained by any monetary rule. And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. This episode was edited by Adrian Blust, and you can send us an email at podcast@coindesk.com or leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. We'll be back tomorrow with another news roundup. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice.